TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
So our style of play is going to change. We want an open floor, dynamic style, up-tempo game. And for us, a lot of that means playing more perimeters on the floor. We really felt like Jared could add a playmaking dynamic to that, an attacking dynamic to that. Between him, between Covington, Wiggins, and Nkoji, who's out here, we feel like we've got a strong core of four wings that can play in a lot of different ways, space the floor, play faster. So for us, it was a strategic approach to how we're going to play next season.
That's Garrison Rosas on Sirius XM Radio, who Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham just reminded me, Rami Makhlouf, is the Wolves president of basketball operations. Thanks for pointing that out, Danny.
You're welcome. I'm just trying to make sure we're factually correct here and raised by Wolves on Score North.
Did not know that. Manny Hill is on the other side of the glass. If you want to get in on the Wolves NBA talk, 651-646-8255 or tweet us at SKOR North. Danny, fresh off a trip to the Summer League in Vegas.
Correct. Hi.
Got a little bit of a suntan going. I see some red on your arms, a little bit on your face.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, it's hot in Vegas, man. It was like 100 degrees.
But you spent most of the time in the gym, right?
Yeah. It's most of the time when the sun is up, you're actually inside the Thomas and Mack Center. When the sun's down, you can be outside a little bit. And it actually feels amazing.
We obviously have to talk about the Tyus Jones news. We should talk about the Russell Westbrook chatter. But wanted to start off the show just by asking for your observations from the NBA Summer League in Vegas for those who haven't caught it at scorenorth.com already.
So I do think that there are certainly some improvements with some of the players that are returning off of last year's team, because we see Josh Okogie's playing in Summer League this year. Cade Bates-Diop also playing in Summer League this year. Jared Terrell, who was on a two-way contract with the Wolves last season, is on their Summer League team. Mitch Creek also on the Summer League team, who finished up last season with the Wolves. Naz Reid is on a two-way contract this year with the Wolves upcoming. He was on the Summer League team. He's someone that impressed me a little bit. But what I noticed is the continued development and growth and maturity in terms of on-the-court stuff with both Josh Okogie and Cade Bates-Diop. Okogie still has a ways to go with his shooting. There's no doubt about that. I think he was like 2-for-9 against the Bucks the other day, which is not good at all. But so many times last year, when things would go wrong for him, it was because he was trying to do too much. He would get out of control. He would try and play faster than he could. And I do think that he's harnessed that a little bit, that he's under control far more often now than he previously was. And that's only going to help his game be better. And in terms of Cade Bates-Diop, I think that this kid's a real player. I think he's going to be a real NBA player. I don't know if it's always going to be in Minnesota, but he's going to be a real NBA player.
When you say real NBA player,
he's going to be in the rotation somewhere. Okay. He's going to contribute to winning.
Maybe not a starter.
Maybe not a starter, but he is a real player. The kid can play.
Significant role player.
Yes, I think he's going to shoot around 35, between 35 and 37% from three, which is solid for him. He's going to be able to, he needs to defend better than he has so far. But I think he can put some weight on. He's going to be versatile offensively. If he can start to rebound the ball a little bit better, which he has done at Summer League, I think he had one game where he had 12 rebounds. He's going to be a good NBA player for a while.
Is he a 3-4 combo forward, you thinking?
Yeah, and they even played him at a little bit of 5 in Summer League, too. And I do think that in the actual NBA, that becomes much more difficult for him on the defensive end, because he's 6'9", 230, and that's, you need a little bit more size on you to do that.
Yeah.
But offensively, that could create some nightmares, especially if he can shoot the way that he's shown in so far in Summer League that he can.
I mean, we've talked, right, about the ways that this team can improve, unless they can pull off a big trade for like a D'Angelo Russell, which they weren't able to do last week. The player development, right? I mean, that's been the hugest thing that they need to get better at.
And we're in the early stages of that. Like, you can't expect to see, oh, they have new player development coaches in, and instantly all these guys are 10 times better. Like, that's not how it happens. It's something that's going to take time, and eventually they get much, much better, but it's a gradual build to getting better, and I do think that these guys are on the right track.
When you talk about draft and development, the guy who they just drafted won't be getting developed on the court this summer. Jared Culver not going to play in the Summer League this year. What was the reasoning behind that, and what are your thoughts on it? Does this set back his development in any way?
I don't think it sets back his development at all. I think it's also not the Wolves' fault that he's not playing. I think that you can put the blame for this on the NBA, because Jared Culver wasn't allowed to be in Minnesota. He wasn't allowed to interact with the organization. He wasn't allowed to talk to Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders. He wasn't allowed to be with the medical staff. He wasn't allowed to be at the mini camp. He wasn't allowed to do anything that involved the Wolves organization until July 6th.
When we talked about this before, the fact that these deals can't be made official for a week, if not more, after they were made.
It was 16 days between the draft and this being made official.
That's insanity.
I thought it was, for the most part, because again, the NBA's collective bargaining agreement is way too complicated for my stupid brain, so I don't even try to keep up with it a lot. But I thought the effects of that were mostly material. You know what I mean? Like, the guys can't put on the right hat at the draft.
They also can't do that.
I didn't know that it had real world impact, real basketball world impact, I should clarify, like you're talking about, that this guy couldn't have contact with the team that actually just traded for and drafted him. So now it's setting him back and he can't play in the summer league. Again, big picture, probably doesn't set back his development, but you'd like to get that guy in the building and in your system as soon as possible, and you can't because of one simple, silly, stupid rule that the NBA has.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't know how much it's going to impact, or like, if Jarrett Culver becomes a star, it's not because he didn't play in summer league. If Jarrett Culver becomes a bust, it's not because he didn't play in summer league. I don't think that this is going to have an impact on his career in the big picture. But it would have been nice to have him at minicamp and be around the coaches as soon as he could have been and start working out and really get on the plan that the Wolves want him to be. But instead, they have to wait that extra two weeks, 16 days, whatever it was. Like, that does hurt to an extent right now in the short term. In the long term, it probably doesn't mean much. But, and it hurts the NBA's product, because Summer League, a lot of people are at Summer League. It is the NBA convention, and a lot of people watch this. It's not like, oh, we watch this like we're watching the NBA Finals, but people do tune in, and people want to see these young stars. This year, Zion played 11 minutes. Ja Morant didn't play. RJ Barrett's played terribly. Like, so some of the top stars just haven't played. DeAndre Hunter, who was picked fourth, had to wait until the 7th to play. Or he played in the game for the Hawks. He played against the Wolves because that trade wasn't made official until the 6th either.
Mm-hmm.
So many. Darius Garland was the 5th pick. He's not playing. Jarrett Culver, the 6th pick, not playing. So I just named the top 6 picks. Two of them are playing, and one of them couldn't play in the first couple of games. That's a problem for them.
Who most impressed you? Not just Wolves, but who most impressed you in the summer league? Anybody stand out?
I'm really impressed with Lonnie Walker, the 4th in San Antonio. I think that he's entirely too good to be playing in summer league. The one game, the Raptors Spurs summer league game, he had like 30 points. He is far too good to be in summer league. I think that it's surprising, and I know why they're doing it, because he spent a good chunk of last season hurt. He spent a good chunk of last season with the Austin Spurs of the G League. But he is a real talent, and he is too good to be in summer league, in my opinion. Someone else that's really impressive is Mitchell Robinson from the New York Knicks. I think that if they get a real point guard that can help get him the ball and have someone to run a pick and roll with him in New York, that kid's going to be an offensive force. He already has the potential to be one of the best shot blockers in the league, if not the best, in a few short years. That kid's the real deal.
The real deal. You ready to declare that after the summer league?
I mean, I've seen him in the regular season, okay, too. Like, yeah. He wasn't.
I was surprised.
Second team all rookie last year.
Yesterday, I saw something on Twitter. It was like it was a highlight reel, but showcasing some of the older players that are in the summer league. There are guys like 27, 28, 29 years old. Cameron Payne just threw down, 32 points in the summer league? He's 28 years old.
He's not that old.
I think he is. I think he's 27 or 28.
He might be.
Well, there's someone on the Spurs that's 31. Jeff,
in the summer league?
Yes, Jeff Ledbetter.
How bad does he need that money, dude? Like,
he has been in the Spurs, on the Spurs G League team for the past few years, but he's 31. Jeff Ledbetter.
He's trying to do whatever he can, man, mm-hmm, to make it into the show.
That's amazing.
I mean, in campaign.
Campaign's 24.
Oh, he's 24. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, he's
I thought I saw someone somewhere yesterday that he was like 20. Never mind.
Okay. You know what?
If you looked it up, I'm sure you're right.
If campaign wants to be a contributor in the league, he needs to be playing in summer league, because he has like not been good at all.
By the way, that was one of the main pieces, if I'm not mistaken, that the Bulls got when they, who did they trade away to get campaign?
Doug McDermott, maybe.
That's right. OKC. It was Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson.
Yeah, to OKC.
And I think a draft pick to get campaign. Like, you think things are bad with the Wolves, or were bad. with the Wolves front office.
Like, yeah, Taj was going to leave anyways. Doug McDermott wasn't good. It's not a...
The guy's playing in the summer league now, man.
Campaign. Yeah.
That's not good. That's
Cameron Payne's not
okay.
Good.
So they got Jeffrey LaVerne, Anthony Morrow.
Oh, I didn't know they got LaVerne and Morrow
for Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, and they gave up a second round draft pick, which actually turned out to be Mitchell Robinson.
Okay,
because that was then sent to New York for Carmelo Anthony.
That's right, the illustrious Carmelo Anthony era with the Chicago Bulls. They should hang that jersey.
Well, that was a Knicks Thunder trade.
It's all so confusing. Why can't trades just be one team and one team?
Those were two separate trades.
I love three-team trades.
It's too much for my brain, dude. I'm not smart enough for all this. Three-team trades, collective bargaining agreements. It's just too much. It's just way too much. One thing I do know, Tyus Jones is no longer a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Want to talk about that and the chatter surrounding Russell Westbrook and your Minnesota Timberwolves. That's coming up right after a short break. You're listening to Raised by Wolves on 1500scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile.
Minnesota sports junkie? Get your fix. Scorenorth.com.
Check out Minnesota Sports Rewind, where Score North goes back in time and dives deep into some of the most prominent moments in Minnesota sports history, including Twins Tigers game 163 back in 2009, Twins A's game 5 of the 02 LDS, Kevin Love's 30-30 game back in 2010, and Kevin Garnett's dominating game 7 against the Sacramento Kings in 2004. It's Minnesota Sports Rewind on scorenorth.com, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts. Now back to Raised by Wolves.
It is Raised by Wolves, Score North on 1500scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app. Danny, I don't know if you've heard, but the Score North mobile app, free. Totally free.
I hear you can get it on both Apple and Android
devices. Apple and Android, and you can download and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts. You can give us those sweet 5-star ratings you know you want to give us. Leave your glowing comments. You can stream us live. The more you do that, the more points you rack up to get cool rewards from us because we love you.
Rewards.
Yes, and it's also your one-stop shop for all the content.
We're in the giving mood, huh?
From scorenorth.com, including Danny's thoughts and musings from the NBA Summer League, some of which we just recap. But he goes more in detail at scorenorth.com. And the Score North mobile app. We did have Wolves news shortly upon your landing from the Vegas Summer League, Danny, which was that the Wolves have declined to match the 3-year, $28 million offer sheet to a restricted free agent point guard Tyus Jones. So the Minnesota native's time with his basketball team is over. He is no longer a member of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and I do think this is the right move by the Wolves. I don't think that Tyus Jones is a starting point guard in the NBA, and I think that that's too much money to give someone that's not a starting point guard in the NBA. Especially,
are they planning on him being a starter?
Memphis?
The Grizzlies?
No. Okay.
They had a number 2 overall pick. His name was Ja Morant.
That's right.
He's probably going to be their starter for the next 10 years there.
Basketball is positionless.
Sure, and they'll share the court at times, for sure.
Right.
But
I'm just looking at the money, and like you said, I'm thinking that's starting point guard
Memphis
money.
Is also in a far different... True. Financial situation than the Wolves are right now.
Right.
That makes it possible for them. And their hope is that Tyus can develop into someone that can play alongside Ja Morant and that can, you know, maybe not be a starter, but impact the game a little bit more there than he could have here.
And I know this is something that has upset some Wolves fans. 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. Manny, as the Minnesota native on the show, are the people who are upset, is it strictly just that this is a Minnesota kid?
I do wonder about that a little bit. Personally, I like Tyus Jones. I got a chance to watch him play in high school a few times at Apple Valley. I like him. I think he's going to last in the NBA for a long time. I think that'll be primarily as a backup point guard, which that's nothing to be ashamed about or anything like that. You can have a very nice career being a backup point guard in the NBA for a long time. But I do wonder if Tyus Jones had been from Chicago or somewhere else.
Would anybody be upset about this?
Would people be as upset as they are right now?
And I don't think they would. Because
I don't either.
To me, it was a no-brainer. I agree with everything that Danny just said. That from the standpoint of just a contract itself and the value you're getting for it, I don't think he's worth it. And beyond that, when you look at the position that the Wolves are in financially where they are as a franchise and bringing in Gerson Rosas and a new plan. And essentially, you hope it's not that long, because to hear Rosas tell it, they're still pretty aggressive in trying to make a trade and add some talent around Karl Anthony Towns. But essentially, they're in a rebuild. You hope it's not a long rebuild. You hope it's through, like I said, a trade, and you add somebody who can come in here and contribute immediately. But you're in the middle of a rebuild, yep. And when you're in the middle of a rebuild or starting a rebuild, you don't give a 3-year, $28 million contract to an above-average point guard.
I wouldn't even say an above-average point guard.
I was being kind, because he's a Minnesota kid.
That's very, very kind.
Right.
He's average at best. Like, that's what Tyus Jones is, and that's fine. Like, that's not bad at all, but...
And good for him. He got paid.
Absolutely. Great for him.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I'm happy Tyus Jones was able to go get $28 million. Mm-hmm. That's right. Awesome for him.
Right.
I just also think that it was the right decision for the Wolves to not pay him $28 million and let someone else do that. I really think that was the right decision for them. He's not going to be their long-term starter. I don't know how well he would have fit into what Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders want to do with the offensive system here. He's a lead guard that can't really create his own shot. He can create shots for others, but I think that they're going to want someone that can create their own shot too.
But this whole hometown kid thing and people glomming themselves onto the hometown kid and treating him with kid gloves, for lack of a better term, it's not unique to Minnesota.
No.
I've heard some people around the station go, man, we got to stop doing this in Minnesota. This is not unique to Minnesota. In both my stops, growing up a Chicago fan, then working in Milwaukee for so long, it was the same thing there. There are still Bulls fans who are pissed off about the way that the Bulls let Derrick Rose go.
Well, Derrick Rose is a little bit different because he was a better basketball player in his peak. And I realize that injuries really hampered him and what he could have been. But Derrick Rose is a little bit different because, like, he was a huge reason as to why that team had success in Chicago. Tyus Jones has been here for 4 years, and this hasn't exactly been the most successful organization.
Right.
It's not like we're going to look back at the Tyus Jones days in Minnesota, like, filled with positive memories. What was the overall record when Tyus Jones was here?
Probably not good. I don't know.
It's different with Derrick Rose in Chicago. He was a part of a team that won, 60 games that 1 year? They won 60 games, I think.
His MVP year.
They won 60 games. They won 50-plus games a number of other times. They had some memorable playoff series. Tyus Jones played in 5 playoff games with the Wolves and won 1-4.
But my point is at that point, when they cut ties with Derrick Rose, he was clearly not that dude anymore. But people had on the rose-colored glasses. I got so many bad puns today. They had on the rose-colored glasses and couldn't see that. They couldn't see that he wasn't the same player.
And I'm with you. Like, right. He wasn't the same player, and he'll never be the same player again. But also, there was more reason for nostalgia and fond memories there than there are here.
Right.
And you know what? Tyus Jones, born and raised in Minnesota, he got to play 4 seasons with the team that he grew up cheering for as a kid. A lot of guys don't get a chance to do that.
Dream come true.
So, you know what?
Good for Tyus Jones.
Good for
Tyus. I'm happy
Tyus.
For everyone involved.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Tyus got his money. He got to play for his hometown team.
A little bit of long-term security.
And I'm happy that the Wolves made the smart choice
and
not matching that offer.
I think that's the right way to think about it.
It wasn't the right offer for them.
I think Tyus is a positive NBA player. I think he's a solid NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that this financially fit the Wolves, and I don't know if it stylistically fit the Wolves either.
How about Russell Westbrook? Does he stylistically fit the Wolves?
There's a lot to unpack here.
Okay, let's unpack. Manny, do you have the Bobby Marks? This is Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, talking about not saying he's heard that the Wolves are interested in Russell Westbrook, but just that it makes sense. This is Bobby Marks on ESPN.
Well, I think we have to look at some of these small market teams, and when you're looking at teams like Detroit or possibly a team like Minnesota, teams that could not afford to go out and sign Westbrook if he was a free agent, or would not even be a destination for Westbrook as a free agent. I think those are the two teams that we have to look at, and it's similar to when I was back in New Jersey in the front office there, and we acquired Deron Williams from Utah in 2011. We would have never been able to sign Williams as a free agent. And I think it's Minnesota and Detroit. I think those are the type of under-the-radar teams to focus on.
Was that production background music, or was that NBA Summer League music?
He was on SportsCenter.
Okay.
He was doing a stand-up.
While they were also showing highlights.
They're showing highlights of Russell Westbrook.
I wasn't sure if that was coming from, like, the PA system at the Summer League. I was going to say, it is lit at the Summer League.
It is lit at the Summer League, but not because of that.
Are we still using On Fleek?
I don't think we use On Fleek anymore.
It is lit. Not on Fleek, because nobody's saying that.
Lit is still used.
It is lit at the Summer League.
But on Fleek's not really
used. I haven't heard on Fleek in a while.
It's been a minute.
I saw somebody use it on Twitter yesterday, and I was like, that's still a thing, huh?
No.
Just for that one person on Twitter, it looks like.
And now you.
But I agree with what Bobby Marks is saying there.
So I don't. Because, okay. And, well, I agree that those are under the radar destinations, but there are a couple of things to unpack here, and I'm going to start with the big picture things in Les Wolf specific. Russell Westbrook is beloved by that organization in Oklahoma City. He's beloved by the fans in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. He's beloved by Sam Presti. He's done a lot for that place where they don't know basketball without him. He has been a part of that franchise since day one in OKC, right?
Yep.
It's not a great situation for them with Paul George requesting a trade, and now they're entering a rebuild. That is what it is. They are tearing it down and entering a rebuild. I think that they're going to do their very best to do right by Russell Westbrook and send him somewhere he wants to be. And I can't picture Minnesota being high atop his list of, he's not going to go to Sam Presti, the president of basketball operations in OKC, and go, I want to go to Minnesota. I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be somewhere that's more conducive to winning, where he's going to have an opportunity to make a run. And really, it's just not here.
My disclaimer on the Russell Westbrook thing, because I don't want a replay of Jimmy Butler. And I see a lot of people making that comparison. Those are two different dudes. Like, Jimmy Butler had teammates in every locker room that he's been in who will tell you he's not a good teammate. Russell Westbrook, in large part, and Kevin Durant never even came up. We assume there is drama there, and I think there's some fairness to those assumptions, but even Kevin Durant never came out and said anything to cross Russell Westbrook. Paul George, on his way out, tweeted, I don't want to hear any Russell Westbrook garbage on my way out of Oklahoma City. And multiple guys, up to 10, 12 guys, have been super vocal about what a good teammate Russell Westbrook is. So I don't think those are the same thing, but he can be volatile. He's a strong personality. And if he's not happy here, it could very well blow up in your face the same way that it did Jimmy Butler.
You can be a really good teammate. Like, maybe Russ Westbrook is a really good teammate, and those guys aren't lying. But you can also be hard to play with. And I think that, sure, Russ probably falls into that category more so than he falls into the crappy teammate category.
But I wouldn't.
And that matters, because if he were both a good teammate and easy to play with and fun to be on the court with, Kevin Durant wouldn't have left, and Paul George wouldn't have asked out, and he would have made it out of the first round sometime between, sure, 2017 and now.
Right.
Like, if those things were true, OKC wouldn't be in this position, because Paul George wouldn't have left, Kevin Durant wouldn't have left, they would have been winning. Like, all of those things don't add up to him being, one, the best teammate. He's probably a good teammate. Like, I don't disagree with that. But I also firmly believe he's tough to play with. And a lot of these guys, while they think he's a really good teammate, don't necessarily want to share the court with him because of that.
I agree.
That's something that should worry you about Carl, because, yeah, he could be a great teammate, but he could be hard to play with. And no matter how good of a teammate he is, if he's difficult to play with, that's going to create issues.
So I would make sure that he can be happy here and that he can have a good relationship with Karl Anthony Towns before I pulled the trigger on that move. Now, you talk about being hard to play with. Has he ever had a big man like Karl Anthony Towns to play with? And how much does that change in terms of the way his style of play fits with his fellow superstar on a roster?
He's not had a big man like Kat. I mean, he's had Steven Adams in OKC, who is a fine big man, but he's nowhere near the offensive threat Carl is. Steven Adams is essentially a bruiser that's an offensive rebound guy, can do some stuff in the post, but he can't stretch the floor the way Carl can. There are a lot of things that Carl can do that Steven Adams just simply can't. Now, on the other side, Steven Adams is a far superior defender to anything Carl Anthony Towns has ever been.
Right.
And one thing that would concern me about this pairing is, Russell Westbrook likes to get a lot of rebounds. He likes to have very heavy stat sheet. Steven Adams lets him get a lot of rebounds. Like, Steven Adams will box out, and Russ can just come in and swoop in and get the
ball. Oh, if I'm Karl Anthony Towns, I'm totally fine with that.
Karl Anthony Towns, I don't think, would be totally with that. No, Karl Anthony Towns,
he wants his boards too?
He wants his boards too, because that gives the appearance that you're doing more, especially when you're not known as a great defender. You have to be a good rebounder too. Like, Kevin Love's a fine example of this. Kevin Love is not a good defender, but he is an awesome rebounder because he knows where to be in position. He boxes out really well. And Carl can be a very, very good defender, or a very, very good rebounder, despite not being a very good defender, right?
Right.
And if Russell Westbrook's trying to grab 10, 11 rebounds a game, that's going to pull away from Carl.
I'm picturing Carl Anthony Towns and Russell Westbrook both in Wolves jerseys and fighting for a rebound. Like, both getting their hands on it, coming down to the ground, and wrestling for the basketball.
And that could be a... That could be not a great situation.
Probably not.
That's something that would concern you because Russell Westbrook's not going to stop trying to go get those rebounds.
But just talking about the offensive possibilities, because I feel like that's when you talk about not being fun to play with, that was a lot of the problem with Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook taking too many shots and too many stupid shots. And same thing with Paul George. With Karl Anthony Towns, I think, to me, the pick and roll and pick and pop possibilities are very intriguing.
Sure, that would be absolutely intriguing, but what's not intriguing is that he part of his offensive profile is similar to that of Andrew Wiggins in terms of he takes a lot of mid-range jump shots and a lot of them don't go into the basket. That's right. A problem. Now, Westbrook's at this point still can get to the rim really well and still can finish at the rim really well, despite how awful he was shooting the ball this last year. I think he actually had his best year in terms of finishing percentage at the rim. Like, he was terrific at that this past season, despite being one of the worst mid-range shooters in the game and a terrible three-point shooter as well. So that's good, but you don't know how long that's going to last because he's already past 30.
Right.
Like, his,
and he's had knee problems.
Yes, he does have a bad knee, and his most athletic days are certainly behind him, and I don't think that there's an argument there. Like, that's why I'm not super high on this, because this would involve Andrew Wiggins going back, right? And everyone wants to get rid of Andrew Wiggins here, and I understand that because he's been a bust as a former number one overall pick, and he has just not lived up to expectations. But you can make the case that his best days are in front of him. You can absolutely make the case. And it's really not even a hard case to make because he hasn't had many good days in his past.
Right.
So you can say that his best days are in front of him. You can't say that about Russell Westbrook. You can't say, oh, he's going to get better. No, he's going to get worse because athleticism doesn't age well.
Yeah.
You only age well in the NBA if you're a good shooter. And guess what? Russell Westbrook isn't a great shooter. He's a terrible shooter. So he's not going to get better as he gets older. That's the thing. And say you do add Westbrook here. What does the ceiling of this team become?
For this year?
Yeah.
Playoffs,
maybe.
Like a six, seven seed, maybe.
Lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Next year, much of the same. It's hard for me to envision a scenario with Russell Westbrook on this team where they get out of the first round. And is that really worth trading for at this point? And he's only going to get more expensive. He's making $47 million in the last year of that contract. He's not cheap, and you're not going to be a title contending team. Those are things that I don't think are worth it.
And I'm not even 100% sure they would make the playoffs.
Yeah, especially in the West right now.
I think with two guys like that, you make the playoffs.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a superstar league, and you have two bona fide superstars.
So you got Houston, you got Denver, Portland, both LA teams. San Antonio is still...
They're still going to win 47 games.
They're still going to be pretty good. You're probably taking... I mean, you're taking Oklahoma City out of the mix.
Yes.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they're probably already out of the mix now.
If they trade for Westbrook, there are three teams in the West that you can say are not making the playoffs.
And by the way, I didn't even mention Golden State.
Or Dallas.
Or Dallas.
Sacramento. There are three teams in the West if they make this trade.
God, the West is so deep.
They were
when you guys start reeling it off, the picture becomes so much more clear.
The same thing happened to me last week when Danny ran it off to me last week, and I was like, oh my God. Didn't even think about how deep this conference is.
This is a tall hill to climb.
If this trade were to be made, there are three teams in the West that you can say are not playoff teams. Memphis, who is not trying to win. They're in the middle of a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City, who would be at the very start of a rebuild. And Phoenix. Those are the three teams that are not playoff teams. Other than that...
That are definitely not playoff teams.
Yes,
right.
Definitely not playoff teams. Because obviously, yes, eight will make and seven will miss. So... How much better are you than Sacramento? How much better are you than Dallas? How much better are you than, I don't know, name another team. Like, there are a lot of teams in the West that could make the playoffs. So maybe the Wolves do, but it's not a lock by any stretch of the imagination if they did this that they're a playoff team.
Everything that you just said, valid and true.
Mm-hmm.
I can't discredit anything that you just said. All of it makes sense.
Sure.
Having said that, I would still look into the possibility of Russell Westbrook. And if I didn't do that, I have an even more drastic measure that I might take after you guys just laid out how bleak the picture is in the West. That's coming
up.
Here
we go.
Right after this on Raised by Wolves, Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app.
You aren't into Minnesota sports. Talk to the Mitten. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. scorenorth.com.
All right, time for the Score North download. It's 1:40 on Manny Hill. Time is running out, by the way, to bid on the 2019 ESPYs auction. It's ESPN's biggest and best auction ever, packed full of more than 80 exclusive one-of-a-kind sports, travel, and celebrity experiences. Visit ebay.com/ESPN to bid. Proceeds will benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Now back to Raised by Wolves.
On Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham. You just heard Manny Hill on the other side of the glass, and we're discussing the possibility of Russell Westbrook to the Wolves. Multiple outlets. We played Bobby Marks in the last segment, but there was an article at The Ringer yesterday talking about why this makes sense. I read something else today, and I'm drawing a blank now on where I read it and who wrote it about why Russell Westbrook to the Wolves makes sense. And Danny and Manny, when we were talking about this in the last segment, made a lot of great points about why it might not be the smartest thing to do. And I can't argue with any of them. I can't argue with any of your points. All valid, all could come true if they were to make that deal. But that being said, for me, if I'm Gerson Rosas and the Wolves, more than focusing on winning a championship right now, my stated goal is to make this a place where Karl Anthony Towns is happy, sees a future, and wants to stay.
Correct.
That's number one on my agenda if I'm Gerson Rosas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want an Anthony Davis situation. I don't want a Paul George situation. And a year or two from now, Karl Anthony Towns waking up and demanding a trade out of Minnesota.
Yep.
I don't want that. And you missed out on D'Angelo Russell. You look at the free agent class of next year, and there are no superstars to add to put next to Karl Anthony Towns and think you have a championship core or the starting of a championship core. They're just not out there.
Sure.
You don't know what's going to come available in the next year. You saw Paul George force his way out, and we've seen that it's become a player's league, that if a player wants to leave and go somewhere, essentially the team has no choice but to trade him and send him where he wants to go. But most of the time, when we see those types of trades, a guy has a very specific destination in mind. He either has a guy he wants to play with, or a place, or maybe one or two places where he wants to go and play. Paul George said, I want to play with Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Trade me to the Raptors or trade me to the Clippers. And then he'll sign wherever I go. You think guys are clamoring, are going to ask for trades? It's the same thing as free agency. You think anybody is saying, I want out and I want to go to Minnesota?
Probably not. I don't think that is one of the top options in terms of that.
So we don't know what's going to come up in the next year, trade-wise, but we're pretty sure that it's not going to work in the Wolves' favor.
But to touch on that.
I think you're going to tell me what the one shining light might be in that dark, dark tunnel.
Well, to touch on that, how often do you see guys that are traded where they want to go? I know we just saw Paul George with that happen and Anthony Davis. But before that, when Kyrie Irving was traded from Cleveland, he gave the Cavs a list of four teams. Minnesota was on the list, as was San Antonio, the Knicks, and I forget who else. Maybe Miami was the other team on the list.
Was Phoenix one of the teams?
You know who wasn't one of the teams was Boston.
Right.
Paul George didn't want to be traded to OKC, was traded to OKC. So often you see guys that demand a trade and give these lists of where they want to go, and they get sent elsewhere. They don't get sent to somewhere on their list. They're going to be sent to a team that can put forth the proper deal for them. So just because they went out doesn't mean that they always get to go where they want.
Okay, so you might trade for somebody who doesn't want to be here and you end up with the Jimmy Butler situation.
You could end up with that. I don't necessarily know how many guys in the league are quite as headstrong as him, and that does matter too. Or you could end up with a situation like in Toronto where, yeah, Kawhi left, but he brought you a title and you've got, like, that's a trade-off you take every time. And Paul George decided to re-up and would have stayed had it not been for the Kawhi Leonard thing happening.
My overall point is that from where we sit today, and we don't know what's going to happen, there are a lot of unknown, like you just said, Danny, there are things that could happen that we don't even see, right?
Sure, of course. I mean, no one saw Paul George requesting a trade.
But in all likelihood, the possibility of that superstar to pair with Karl Anthony Towns will not present itself in the next year or so, unless the Warriors decide to trade D'Angelo Russell and you can work something out there.
I think that's a possibility. Bradley Beal is going to be a possibility, a name that's thrown out there in terms of a guy that could be available via trade. Maybe something goes wrong in Sacramento and Buddy Hield becomes available, or De'Aaron Fox becomes available. You don't know who's going to be available.
But do you really want to sit back and let the clock tick. And I was talking about this when I first came to Minnesota, that the clock is already ticking on Karl-Anthony Towns and eventually trying to make his way out of Minnesota if things don't change. And now it seems like people are finally starting to take heed and realize that that's a real thing. And I think
the clock didn't start ticking until his extension actually kicked in.
Right.
So the clock started ticking last week.
But people have seen Anthony Davis and Paul George and Jimmy Butler right here in Minnesota. These guys demanding their way out of where they are because they're not happy. And that's a real possibility on the horizon for Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know if I'm Garrison Rosas that I can sit back and let that clock tick on the Karl-Anthony Towns doomsday clock.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So if my one and only clear path to some kind of relevance and pairing some kind of superstar up with Karl-Anthony Towns, despite all the potential pitfalls you laid out when we talked about this in the last segment, I feel like that might be a risk I have to take.
That is, it's a risk, but I think that there's a solid chance that trading for Russell Westbrook makes the clock tick a little faster. I think that that could be a potential outcome there. If you trade for Russell Westbrook, the clock could start ticking a little quicker and
Why do you say that?
Because I think that there's a high chance it doesn't work out. It doesn't bring real winning. It brings a lot of shortcomings in the playoffs.
And if it doesn't work out, he is still an asset that you can move in a year from
now. Sure, but you're going to get one chance at this. And I'd rather take the highest probability chance that there is. Maybe Devin Booker is a guy that becomes available because he wants out of Phoenix. That's a name that's not talked about a lot, but that could be a possibility.
That I would like to see. Like, I said that on Mackie and Judd with Rami.
And they would have to get rid of Wiggins before they could make that trade because you can't have just some CBA stuff that I don't want to get into. But you would have to get rid of Wiggins before you could trade for Booker. But that's a possibility. Like, that's another guy that could at some point be unhappy.
And he's good buddies with Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both Kentucky kids, right?
Former college teammates, yeah.
Now, with the bleak picture that you guys paint in terms of the possibilities that may present themselves, how poorly it could go if they did go out and get Russell Westbrook, how stacked the Western Conference is and appears will stay for at least the next 3 or 4 years.
Don't do this.
What? You have to consider trading Karl-Anthony Towns within the next year.
Nope.
You have to.
Nope. You have to at least take a swing before you even think about that. You have to take a swing and you have to try something. If it is Russ Westbrook, that's your swing. You have to take at least one, though. If you're waiting until next summer because maybe Devin Booker becomes unhappy, maybe Bradley Beal is going to get traded and you try for that.
Okay.
You have to take a swing before you can do that.
I can get down with that. I can get down with you have to take one swing before you take that drastic measure. But
You're not just going to give up on it before you even start on it if you're Garrison Rosas. You have to take a swing. You have to find someone on a similar timeline to Carl. You have to find another star. You have to try it at least once before you even can think about doing that.
Once... If Karl-Anthony Towns pulls that trigger and says, I want out, now you've lost leverage. You've lost hand and you're not going to get, you'll still get good value for him, but you're not going to get the value for him that you would get if you pull the trigger first. If you say to the NBA, hey, Karl-Anthony Towns is on the trade block. Let me see your best offers.
It depends when that would happen. If Karl-Anthony Towns is still signed up for 4 years when this happens, you're still going to get as much value as possible. You never get equal value for a superstar, no matter who it is, but you're still going to get a ton if this happens with Carl and 4 years left on his deal or 3 years left on his deal. If we're 3 years down the road now and he's got 2 years left on that contract, then things start to get dicey. But until that point, you're still getting a ton of value for him where you're never going to get equal value for a star. Never.
The other thing that the Wolves... Like right now, I don't even think the Wolves are even considering trading Cat. But
no, they're not.
But if they were, if you're the Wolves, you would also have to really think about the hit from a PR standpoint that they would take by trading away the most popular player on the team. And especially with a team right now that
it's a hard pill to swallow,
is right now trying to make themselves even as relevant as possible. If you decide to just pull the plug on the one piece that is making you at least semi-relevant right now, then you are going into some really, really, really dog days.
I said this before.
And this is a franchise that has seen, as far as I'm concerned, has seen enough dog days in 30 years.
And that might hurt you in the short term, but if your plan works and you find your way back to relevance and a championship contender, they'll forget that real quick. They'll forget that you traded Karl Anthony Towns real quick. And what I said before Gerson Rosas was hired was that if I'm whoever the president is that gets hired, and I have access to all the books, all the information that a president has once you get in the organization, and I look at it all and I say, look, we don't have the assets. We don't have the draft picks. We don't have the salary cap space, and we don't have the players to trade to bring ourselves back to relevance before either Karl Anthony Towns' contract expires or Karl Anthony Towns just says, enough of this, I want out. If I can't see that path, the only logical and reasonable thing to do, even though it'll piss people off and it'll be a hard pill to swallow, is to shop Karl Anthony Towns around. And the sooner you do it, the better, because the more he has left on that contract, the more value he has. And like I said, once he does pull the trigger and says, I want out, you've lost leverage.
I don't think the value really changes much between right now and between having 2.5 years left on the deal. I don't think that the value changes a ton then. Why? It does not make sense to do it right now. You have to take a swing. You have to give it a shot. You have to see what you can do in the next couple of years before you think about having this conversation.
You have to see. You have to see if Jarrett Culver turns into something. What if and I don't know if he is or not. I have no idea the kind of player Jarrett Culver is going to be. But if he ends up being an all-star player, then you got something.
Mm-hmm.
You got something with him and Kat.
And if he does, great.
If he doesn't, then yeah, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough. But I think right now you have to wait and see what you have with Jarrett Culver and see what you can do over the next couple of years to get things going in the right direction. Because there are good teams in the NBA right now that are atop just in the Western Conference itself that were not built on making big splashy moves for superstar players. And the two teams that come to mind immediately are the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers. And the Blazers were just in the Western Conference Finals this past season. And a lot of the way their roster was built was drafting. I mean, they drafted Dame and they drafted CJ, but they made trades to get other players that ended up being contributors on the team that are not star players. And they're one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I think if the Wolves are going to contend with Karl Anthony Towns on their roster, that's probably the more likely route that they're going to end up taking, if it's going to work out.
So you guys are both saying at least one more swing before you go down that road.
Absolutely.
With Karl Anthony.
Yeah, you haven't even taken
a
swing
yet. I'll concede to that. I'll say you have to take a swing with the guy first.
Mm-hmm.
But if you
have to.
But if a year from now you've swung and you already swung and missed on D'Angelo Russell, mm-hmm. if you've swung and missed on every move that you've tried to make, this is something you seriously have to consider, right? As hard as that might be to swallow.
Down the road,
yeah.
Not now, but
down
the road.
A year from now.
2 years from now.
2 years from now.
2 years from now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And Rami, I'm with you.
I don't know.
Me and Danny, we just talked about this last week after the D'Angelo Russell thing failed. If the swings and misses pile up, then yeah, they're going to be in trouble because Kat's going to look around and say, I can't, it's not going to happen here. I need to get out of here. But you have to give yourself an opportunity for that to work first. And they really haven't, they made the Jimmy Butler trade 2 years ago. And that obviously long-term did not work out for them. But they have a little bit of time to try and right the ship. Right? It's not, right now, I don't think it's time to punt on Karl Anthony Towns.
I'm not saying right now. I'm just saying once, if I'm Gerson Rosas, whenever that point is, that I come to the conclusion of, man, we don't have a path to relevance and championship contention before Karl Anthony Towns' contract is up or before he asks to get out of here. I have to pick up the phone and announce to all 29 other GMs Karl Anthony Towns is on the trading block. I have to.
At some point, sure.
Not within the next
24 months.
I'm not as smart as, nor do I have access to all the information that Gerson Rosas has. But with everything that he has at his fingertips, whenever it is that he comes to that conclusion, if it's a month from now, if it's a year from now, if it's a year and a half from now, got to pick up that phone. Got to.
Of course. It's just, it's not going to be in the near future.
All right. I hope not. I hope it all works out.
I'm telling you.
I hope they find Robin for Carl Anthony Towns Batman. Or find Batman.
Keep in mind, Cat's phenomenal right now, and he's only 23.
True. Absolutely. Love Cat.
There's time.
Don't take this the wrong way. I love Cat. I don't want to see him go anywhere. I also don't want to see you go anywhere. Keep listening to Score North for Danny.